This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Search and Deploy, a Rainmaker.fm and Foundation Digital Production. This is your host, Lauren Baker, and with me today, I'm going to have Melissa Fash of Authority Labs and PubCon. Melissa has a number of years in the SEO industry, and as of late, I think for the past 3 or 4 years, she's been focusing more on community building and community management, along with publishing for a number of her clients that are actually in the SEO industry. So Melissa has more or less transitioned from doing client-specific work to more so putting together a B2B offering for search and conference companies. So Melissa, welcome to Search and Deploy.
Thank you.
It's great to finally have you on here. I know we've been trying multiple times to get together, which has been my fault due to technical malfunctions.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, nice. So, let's do a quick rundown. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Sure. I'm Melissa Fash, as Lauren said. I'm the social community manager for PubCon, and my title at Authority Labs is Community Jedi. And I do some consulting behind the scenes for clients, and that's my 50-60 hour work week right there.
Cool. Yeah. So I think we first met about 5 years ago. Just to give everyone a little bit of background, Melissa used to be the head editor over at Search Engine Journal for a number of years, and now she's moved on to work with multiple companies in search. And I think when I first contacted you, there are two reasons. One, because you're a local, because I was living in Tampa, Florida at the time, and you were down in Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And two, because it sounded like you really knew what you were talking about. So, but at the time, you're doing a lot of training, right? Were you doing like a lot of SEO training or something? Did you have an SEO training offering that you're putting
out there? I did, yes. And I had clients. But you know, the economy fell apart, Lauren, and you know, it hit Florida really hard.
It did.
The local clients became difficult. It was a lot of hand holding and not sending in their payments, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was really getting burnt out. I think I'd worked so long and so hard that I was just kind of ready for a change. So when you came to me about the SEJ job, I was like, yes, let's do something different. You know, so
you were getting a little bit burnt out of not only doing the consulting, but putting together the contracts, sending the invoices, following up on the invoices, making sure everything's the day-to-day, really.
The day-to-day, because it was just me. It was me doing the work and me handling all of the business on top of it while being a mother. You know, it was just, I was very tired. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's, you know, when I think back about 6 or 7 years ago, I was pretty much doing the same thing, like doing all the consulting. I was doing a lot of link building back then, but for the most part, I was all on my own. The books and the only difference was I wasn't a mother at the time. And right. That's one reason I started trying to get more on the agency side. But it can be a hassle. It can be draining. So what's changed between, well, first of all, what are you doing now, right? 5 years later, but what's changed during that course for you on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I mean, as you know, I jumped into SEJ and I worked a lot on that because I had a mission and a goal.
Right.
And I tend to be like a perfectionist and want things a certain way. I put a lot of effort into the editing and the fact checking for all the articles coming in. So the SEO really paid off because I knew what was accurate and what was not.
Right.
But what I really found that I enjoyed was the community aspect at SEJ, the interacting with the community every day, the social side, getting to know people. I really enjoyed that. It made me happy. And it was the first work that had made me happy in a long time. So, you know, after SEJ, Moz asked me to come on and do some editing, and then I ended up in the social team for a while. And, you know, it's just kind of snowballed and become community and social more for me. I still do editing, and I do, you know, some SEO, and, you know, I help writers behind the scenes.
Right.
But it's mostly community at this point.
It's really interesting, too, because, like, you jumped from – and you jumped from a publication to a tool company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people see Moz as a publication. Some people see Moz as a tool company. Some people see Moz as this grand palace up there in Seattle that you venture to once a year to meet the wizard. But, and I think that's Rand's unofficial title, right? The Wizard of Moz. But
yes.
Point being is that Moz was actually kind of, it's always been different. And I brought this up numerous times as an example of the power of building community. Is that Moz wasn't always a tool company, right? They used to be a services company. And the community was first, right? Because a lot of the folks that came over to Moz were originally in the forums that Rand had contributed to. He used to be a big contributor in CreateASite forum back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Krausberg's old forum. And when he started building up the Moz community, it got to the point of it was such a strong community that if it was a services company or if it was a tool company or hybrid or you know, more so what it is now, getting in the local tools and social and everything, the community base is still there. So it's not like you jumped from a publication to, say, a company that was saying, hey, we want to start a community from scratch. Type thing.
Right.
It's actually really neat learning experience.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, he released Linkscape in 2008 at SMX East,
mm-hmm.
which is actually where I met Rand. And it just kind of snowballed for them, you know, because they had that community. The user generated content built that community even more, you know. So they've done a fabulous job at building a massive community of people.
They have.
Yeah.
And then from Moz, what was the next step?
Well, that was PubCon. You know, I had run the social for PubCon in 2013 from Florida.
Okay.
And Brett said, I need someone to run it. I did it. I loved it. I love, first of all, let me say, I love PubCon. I think Brett knows that I love PubCon.
We all
so
love PubCon.
It was a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, so Brett and I had been talking, and it was time for me to make a change. When I was working for Moz, I, you know, they are on Seattle time, and they needed someone early East Coast time to be managing social in the mornings while they're still sleeping.
Yeah.
You know? So every day, 8 to like 12:30, 1 o'clock, there was never a stop. It was every day I was on, which was fine. I loved the job. It was a fantastic opportunity, and I learned a tremendous amount. However, you get to the point where you start to get burnout, you know, and there's no breaks. And I was a contractor. So when you're an associate at Moz, you're a contractor. You're not like a paid employee. So, it, you know, you're paid for when you work. And I just kept working. So, but, you know, then I'd get done with Moz and I worked for Authority Labs for the rest of the day. And then they're in Phoenix, Moz is in Seattle. So they're my 8 o'clock is their 5 o'clock. So if you can imagine that I'm up, I have a kid at school by 7:30, I'm home working by 8, and I usually didn't quit looking at my cell phone until I went to bed, checking emails so that I was ready for the next day, you know? So.
Well, it's kind of crazy how that works, because you went from doing the training and the consulting, which you didn't hate, but it wasn't your dream thing, right? And then you got into more of the community management or the community participation, which is natural for you, right? It's natural for me. Like, you know, I spend about an hour in the morning catching up on what people are talking about on social media. And I don't know how to classify that, right? I don't know if it's work to like comment on Ryan Jones's latest post on Facebook, or if it's not work, or, you know, whatever. So there, it is kind of like this, and I don't want to say it's a problem, but it's like this, it's something that would make it difficult to control if you're updating your time management, you know, if you're updating Toggle, right? Toggle on, check mail, tweet, you know, check what's going on Facebook, toggle off.
I think we're in a tough industry, and here's why. We have to know everything that's going on across multiple platforms, right?
Right.
And topics. So like I have to keep up on what's changing in SEO. I have to keep up on what's changing in social. I have to know what the social tools are. I have to be the companies. I have to represent the companies I work for as Melissa, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have to also do personal branding for myself as Melissa, because when I leave those companies, I am essentially right now my own brand. They're hiring me. Right. So this is a different kind of industry, Lauren, where part of your job is to monitor everything that goes on in social for each of the companies you work for yourself, for your industry. I mean, it is fatiguing because you don't really get a break. Now, what I've done is just the weekends I tend to shut off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and so, what I tried doing for a while is I would jump on social media in the morning, and then maybe a little bit of lunch, see what's going on. And then in the afternoons, late afternoon, early evening. But what happens is that, you know, if I'm deep into a project or writing something up or whatever, and something happens, like something I should know that's going on. And you kind of feel this thing with social media, like you have to know, like you have to be one of the first people to find out, retweet, let your clients know, ping somebody over at the blog to let them know you're going to write it or that it should be covered or whatever. So it is difficult to kind of turn that off. And then now it's election time too, right? So it's just like so hard not to like sit there and rant all morning about this and that. Yeah, it is kind of interesting. So anyway, you went from SVJ, right? Full-on publication to Moz, which let's just call a hybrid publication and tool company, right? And then to Authority Labs, which is really interesting because Authority Labs, pure tool data company. Most people in the industry know Chase and the other guys over there. It took me a while to figure out what they did because I always saw them at different events and saw them sponsoring and then just like, you know, checked out Authority Labs and then I knew. But it wasn't really, they had a blog, right, that was publishing a lot of things, but a lot of the blog stuff was very data driven because that's what they are. So you basically went from a tool company. You went from Moz with the huge readership, huge community, you know, people participating in UMoz and on their social media channels and leaving comments at 3 a.m. to Authority Labs. So it almost sounds like you had the chance to not build from scratch because they already have a following. Don't get me wrong, but almost build a personality.
I was actually with Authority Labs before Moz.
Okay.
Okay. So Authority Labs is a totally different beast than Moz,
right?
Because Moz is their community helps fund their tool sales, right? Mm-hmm. Authority Labs, we work on their personality and I work on their blog, but they have a pretty substantial client base. They're just very quiet about it.
Yes.
Right. So a lot of people are paying for tools, and those tools get their data from Authority Labs. So with Authority Labs, the difference is conversion, conversion, conversion. Are we increasing sales each month? You know what I mean? And we've found some ways to do that. And it's really been for a long time, anytime you take over a blog, you kind of have to figure out what the audience wants and who your audience is. And we now have it very fine-tuned who our audience is that reads our blog.
That's great.
And we know what they want to see and what they enjoy. What we tweet every day is aimed at that audience as well. Okay. So it's really more about educating specific markets that use our tools. And then we've been doing hangouts for the last month or so, a couple of months, and those are going to be every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so thumb one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. You're on one. And so we've been doing those. And as you know from your hangout, it's again aimed at education. That is what their audience wants, is the nitty gritty education.
Right.
They don't really have the time to do what you and I do, which is to talk and to comment and to get active on social. They're more businesses or agencies craving information and like putting it to use. So it's a completely different audience. And so, but Authority Labs grows year after year, and that's what we want. Right. Because I think we have half of our industry, Lauren, who is about the notoriety and being seen. And then you have another half who are just raking in cash.
It's true. You have the Stringer Bells, right? Are you a fan of The Wire? I've been binge watching it recently.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have your Stringer Bells, right, that are very kind of behind the scenes, up in the high rise, not necessarily down there making any noise or whatever. Then you have your guys that are doing podcasts, I guess, like me, or speaking and everything else. So it is. And it's funny that you bring that up too, because like you said, a lot of people utilize Authority Labs data that aren't direct Authority Labs customers. They're customers of another service or a tool set or whatever it may be.
Right.
So it's not like they have that direct customer line from a B to, I mean, let's just call it B to C, right? Like,
right.
Perspective. It's more so B2B powering everything. So it sounds like one, you identified the audience as being different than what the audience that you had had before. Two, you put together a content plan, really, to produce content on the blog, to share that socially, social interaction around that audience. And then three, you watch it succeed and grow. So are you, and you know, forgive me, Melissa, for putting you on the spot here, because I really don't like it when people ask me this question myself. But I get this question a lot, of course, because I am still on the consultancy side and the agency side of things. But do you see a direct ROI from the content marketing that you've done with the companies that you work with or work for?
Yes.
Okay. How so? Yeah.
Okay. Well,
without getting into something that you can't share, right, of course.
It really, it comes down to, for me, fine tuning the audience that can afford to pay you. Right. And feeding them the information that they need to invest in your product or service.
Right.
Right. And that is, you know, the economy is turning around. It's getting better. But for a long time, Lauren, a lot of people were like, I'm not paying until you prove to me that I should invest in this. Right.
True. True.
And it was a rough couple of years trying to get people to do this or to do that, right? So it all depends on really what your focus is. So if your focus is just to build your brand, content is a great and easy way to do that. I mean, it's simple. You want to build a personality, let people see who you are. content's a great way to do that. It's easy to do. It's harder to create content and see an ROI. And that just requires testing, testing, testing.
Well, and, you know, you brought up getting people to invest mm-hmm. in the company. And getting people to invest in the company is not necessarily only restrictive to new customers, but there's also the retention of current customers where this comes into play as well. Right. So you see content marketing kind of helping out things on the account management / client services, relationship building, trust building, positioning the company as being a thought leader type of thing, which everyone loves to hear and a lot of people want to achieve, or a lot of tools may want to achieve, but that definitely helps with the ongoing investment in terms of keeping the customer.
Right. It does. And for, and you know, for people like me, I tend to not like change, right? So, if I invest in, like, let's say Authority Labs, and I get to know that company a little bit better, and I know they know their stuff, and I know they're paying attention to what the changes are in SEO and local, right?
Yeah.
Then if I know that they are really on it, then I can trust that their tool is going to remain on, right? And so the other thing you have to look at too, Lauren, is who is making these financial decisions?
Right.
And how you're going to prove to them, because whoever makes that decision may change jobs, and then you have the next person coming in.
Yep.
So you have to constantly be focused on whoever is making these decisions on what tools we're going to invest in. How do we convince them that we are the one? Right. And so, you know, we have a formula that tends to be working for us at this point.
That's great.
And, you know, I am, as you know, I mean, I worked with you. Whoever I work for, I want to do a good job for.
Absolutely.
But I am also huge into the companies I work for, trusting them personally as well. And the Authority Labs guys are a rare breed. I mean, they're just every single one of them good people. You know what I mean? Like, and so a lot of people are like, I don't know what Authority Labs is. And I'm like, I don't care. I love them. I'm working for them. You know what I mean? So I would do anything to help them do well. But I think people have to really care about the company they work for and enjoy mm-hmm. working for them to provide quality work.
Absolutely. So are you going to hop in the Authority Labs Jeep on the way to PubCon this year? Do the cross country tour?
No, because they're in Phoenix. I'm in Florida. I have to get on a plane.
I thought Mike was in the Carolinas or something.
No, he moved back to Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're all there. So,
oh, wow.
So it's flying for me. but we do the best memories I have of Vegas are with the Authority Labs guys. They know the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So, but no, it's good. I mean, I think people should not be afraid of changing what they're doing. Lauren, it was a very hard thing for me to do, to work and build a company and build a client base and go through the starving and just, you know, taking crappy clients to, you know, build a client base. To leave it all behind was a little difficult at first.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm making 9 times the money that I was, you know, and I'm much happier.
That's great. That's what we all want at the end. I mean, it's why we all started
right.
doing this back in the day, right?
But the other part is the networking and the relationship building and the not getting involved in the industry drama. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can observe it, but you don't want to get involved in it.
I try to stay as far away as possible.
Right.
But I'm bombing. No. Yeah. No, I agree.
So I do think the one recommendation I'd make for everybody is to be branding themselves while they're branding the companies they're working for.
You're building your resume, right? So
right.
It makes total sense. another thing too, and is not to get carried away. I mean, find the balance, right? Because sometimes you will see folks doing too much personal branding while they're supposed to be working on the company side. And, you know, that can definitely raise red flags. But really to find the balance, because when I think of you, I think of PubCon and Authority Labs.
Okay.
Which is a good thing. I mean, it shows that you've built your personal brand, but also as your personal brand has grown positively, so has the association and positive association with those two brands.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell Brett I said that next time you're having
I'll tell him. I'll say, you need to listen to Lauren's podcast, Brett.
No, but it's, and it's interesting too, because along this trail, we're talking like consulting, SEJ, Moz, Authority Labs, right? And then now PubCon. And Moz does events and SEJ does some events and stuff like that. But PubCon is a pure event company, right? We're talking about pure. They don't even have the forum anymore, right?
Right.
So pure events, but with the common denominator of it all targeting the same industry. So
And to be honest with you, this is the job that intimidates me the most.
PubCon.
It's the one that makes me nervous, because everyone in this industry pays attention to PubCon. They know what it is. And I have this weight on my back to do a really good job, because, you know, if you fail at this one, everyone's going to say you fail at this one.
Well, I'll tell you. I tell you too, I say this a lot, is that PubCon, I mean, I speak sometimes, right? Go to events and speak and stuff like that. And PubCon is one of the ones where I get the most nervous, because when I look in the back of the room, it's like Martini Buster and Oil Man and Frank Bauer back there. And you know, you have to bring it. Like, you can't mess up. You can't start giving out misinformation or jumping to conclusions or spitting out theories that don't exist, because they may not call you out there, but they're going to call you out at the bar later on.
Right. And, you know, the first time I spoke at PubCon, Bozer walked in the room and it totally threw me off. I'm like, oh my God, I can't screw up in front of Bozer. And honestly, for half my talk, I'm like, he's staring at me.
Was that the one where we were both speaking on the same panel?
Okay. We were on the same panel. And I was like, so like, oh my God. You know, and so it is, and it's, you know, now that I'm working with PubCon, I know who the attendees are. Right. So I know how big some of these companies are that are sitting in the audience, which is, I mean, you wouldn't know, you don't know. They're just people sitting out there.
Right.
But I now know who they are. And I'm doing the master training this year on Monday.
Okay.
Golly, man. It's like, okay, you got to make sure you know exactly everything in the right way. And, you know, it is pressure because those people are paying more to be in the master training group. Right. So there's even more pressure than just the attendees. And then I'm moderating like three or four sessions and doing a site clinic, but I don't have to actually create presentations. But yeah, I mean, for the rest of the conference, but speaking at PubCon is, it is an amazing experience, but there's a pressure to do a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that, you know, all the new speakers this year take that and you know, do a try, because it's a make it or break it deal. I mean, you know, in the hallways, if someone does, you know, says something, it's talked about.
Yeah. Especially with all these all-star dream speakers at PubCon this year.
Right. Like,
it's a lineup, right? So, one other thing about PubCon too, is that, and we were talking about this before, I think this year for the first time in a long time, has been where there's been conversation around PubCon Vegas online, like way before it, like in the Facebook group, in the PubCon, I guess it's a private group, secret group, whatever you want to call it. There is so much conversation going on. Like, I would think the PubCon's next week, tell you the truth. There's so much conversation going on about it. And like, I'm ready. And you know, I was in Vegas for almost an entire month and a half straight last year. I went home back to LA like once for a 1 week period because I was there for PubCon and then a couple of other conferences. So we just stayed for a long time and I was totally Vegas'd out. Like I didn't want to see Vegas at all. But now like with all this conversation going on around PubCon this, PubCon that, I'm ready to go. Like,
well, the my goal there was to make people anxious for it.
Yeah.
And to create a can't miss feeling. And because, I mean, what is my job? My job is to bring money in for Brett.
Right. So there's the ROI on the community management then.
Right.
Again, right.
Right. If I had been doing all this and Brett had not seen an increase or doesn't see an increase in ticket sales, then I feel like a failure. Right. So, it really comes down to, and Brett didn't come to me and say increase ticket sales. He didn't say that, you know.
Well, that's old school work ethic right there, Melissa.
Right. Okay. Well, that was the pressure on me is I, you know, but the other thing is that I wanted to get across to people is that feeling of excitement and awe of being at PubCon, because for me, PubCon has always felt like family and friends, like you're going to a reunion where there just happens to be education. Right?
Yeah, so if you make it to the sessions,
right. If you make it to the sessions. And so, but you know, the other thing is I have never gone to a PubCon where I didn't make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, sessions, yes, you want to go to sessions, but you also, you're there for work. Yeah. So to me, it's
really,
it's been a win-win. Well, this time I actually have to work, right? Like it's going to be working all day. But it is always been a work, you know, for me. And I know Dave Snyder and I had a podcast and he talked about, he always has meetings set up at PubCon and, you know, it is a unique place. So what I was trying to do and what I'm going to continue to try to do is to get people to have that anxious feeling and I don't want to miss it this year, you know? So I'm hoping I'm doing that.
Yeah, it really is a good, you know, and it's funny too, because I get people, especially I have some friends that are in like, they go and they speak at conferences where a lot of the people at the conferences will like sign up for their program or sign up for their whatever they were representing, right? That's what the conferences are set up for.
Right.
And so they're asking me like, you know, do you really get anything from speaking to a room of other people and peers in your industry? And, you know, I was very honest in my response. I'm like, you know, it used to be 6 years ago that if I was speaking on a link building session or a content marketing session, right? And
right.
And there were content marketing sessions 6 years ago. Surprisingly enough, it's nothing new.
It wasn't called content marketing then.
Right. Marketing, right? But so if I was speaking on that, I would typically get people coming up with cards, with business cards after my session. Asking about contracting me or my company to do work for them. Like it would happen quite often. That's how I used to get a lot of clients. Now, not so much right after the session, but I'll tell you where it helps. I typically get calls 2 to 3 months afterwards from companies saying that they had representatives in the crowd that had added me to the list of people they wanted to contact, right? About okay. Doing a specific service, whether it's content or links or SEO or whatever. And then two, it is like it's nice when people hear that you're a speaker, right? Especially PubCon this year seems like, I don't want to say harder to speak, but there's a lot more different speakers and it feels like it feels like it's, I'm excited I got picked to speak at PubCon this year, right? Like, there are people really sweating it. And I was sweating it for a while until I got the email like, yes, I picked to speak.
I think people have to look at it, you know, there's a pressure for Brett to ensure that there's enough change, right? I mean, like, I spoke on the same session like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, people come to 2 or 3 pub cons and they're like bored. Well, these are the same things I've already been to.
Yeah.
So why should I go back? Well, so this year is a whole new, I think there's 1 or 2 sessions that have remained from the last schedule. Mm-hmm. Everything's new. Speakers were chosen differently. It's a whole different ballgame, and it's all aimed at ensuring that different, you know, categories of people are educated on different things.
That's great. So, is affiliate marketing a track this year? I can't remember if that was cut or not.
We have some affiliate marketing sessions. Uh-huh. I'd have to go and look, honestly.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So you're doing the community management, social media, a bit of content marketing for PubCon. People are talking about it beforehand, which is great. We have lots of new speakers. And it's funny, I had done a podcast, a couple of podcasts back. I was talking to Craig Rayner at Ungagged about this. And, you know, those guys, they're entering a market that's, you know, pretty saturated in terms of conferences. So they're trying to do things differently. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about conferences, specifically search marketing or internet marketing conferences that have done well over the past 4 years and then haven't, and what the differences have been. And the main difference that I see, and I mean, we're talking about a market right now where, you know, you were talking about it earlier, the economy's picking back up now, but everyone knows that some budgets were cut in the past couple of years in terms of travel budgets. And also that we're in a market now where a lot of tool companies are holding their own conferences, right?
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Conductor's done it forever. Searchmetrics is doing it. You have just about any tool company out there is holding their own conference and inviting their client base. HubSpot's done it forever. Moz does it. Distill does it. They're not a tool, I guess. But, you know, so there's a lot more competition. And, you know, the two that I brought up really were PubCon and SMX as examples of the pre-existing events that have changed and continue to change and evolve with the times and are still doing well because of that.
Right.
You know, and there is that excitement to attend PubCon this year. There is that excitement to go to SMX Advance. There is that excitement to, you know, go to one of these two. And in I'm sure in some businesses, people only have the chance to go to one or the other. So it's really, you know, how to differentiate yourself, how to be top of mind, what everyone's, you know, talking about. So that's great to see that it's happening, not only with the lineup, which I think has always been phenomenal, but also with the, I guess, the online presence and conversation around the brand, too.
So, right. So. Well, and the other thing I would say that, you know, I have always had myself go to 2 conferences a year. As like a mom, I didn't want to leave more than that. I have been to many conferences. You know, I mean, I used to go to the Blue Glass. You know, I went to different conferences. I've been to different, you know, what I will say is that if you are having a conference, ensuring that people feel comfortable and welcome is like critical. There are conferences that I will never return to because there's like an elitist behavior. You know what I mean? Which I don't really believe in that. But it's like everybody's a person. Treat them with respect, right? And that's part of the reason is, you know, I hate to fly. I hate it.
I didn't know that.
Oh God! Like I have to take a pill to get on a plane. So for me
Mr. T, like B.A. Baracus in the A-Team.
Yeah. So for me to go all the way to Vegas from Florida tells you that it is a place I enjoy being, right? Because it's a welcoming place. And so it's kind of, I know there's so many conferences now that it's hard to even keep up with what's what and who's who, you know, it's a tough industry to get into. So the best thing for PubCon right now is just to pull the whole community together and make sure we're remaining bonded.
So, you know, I think, you know, looking back at everything that you've worked on, whether it's been SCGA, Moz, Authority Labs, PubCon, it's from a community building aspect or a publishing aspect, it's all been great. When I think about, you know, while I've been talking, I've been trying to think about other SEO companies or tool companies that have done something similar. I would say that, like, when I think of services companies, specifically SEO-oriented, one of the only ones that I can think of offhand that's really built a great community and learning environment really early on, too, was Bruce Clay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he had Lisa Barone blogging there, gosh, 6 years ago or whatever, covering conferences, doing loads of other things, and really building a community around the brand, which is an SEO services and consulting company.
Right.
And they're still doing a great job with Virginia Hussey and everyone else there. So, you know, this is, you know, if a company like Bruce's has done that for, let's say 6-7 years.
Well, no, because you know what? Lisa left Bruce in 2008.
Right.
So that's been 7 years, and then she was doing it long before that. So he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, really has.
If you want to make a name for yourself, or if you want that foundation, I mean, Bruce Clay has a solid foundation, right? He's got the community, he's got the content, he's got that feeling around his brand. People trust that brand. I know if I go to their blog, I'm going to get something that's solid. You know what I mean? I don't have to necessarily doubt if it's valid or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really critical. And I think that is more critical today, Lauren, than anything, because a lot of people are so, we need to get content up as fast as possible, that they're not checking the validity of what is being said.
Right.
And that has hurt quite a few brands, in my opinion. Like, once my trust is lost, my trust is lost. Yeah, I mean, I get where you're going. I mean, businesses have got to really start focusing on having what I call the whole plate full, you know, the meat, the potatoes, the vegetables, and make sure you have everything in place.
So what are, to finish things up here, because we're about 43, 44 minutes in, what are the three main tips you would give to anyone either starting a community / publishing / content marketing strategy for an existing business, let's say in the SEO or internet marketing field? Yeah. What are the three tips you would give?
Oh boy. I think that you have to figure out first what your goals of doing this are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is it branding, ROI, both, right? I think you have to be extremely careful with who you choose to run it for you. The wrong person saying the wrong thing will cripple a business. If you have a feeling going through, and you and I both know in this industry, there are teams of people at trusted companies that their community team is not well liked, right? That hurts your brand. So who you choose is extremely critical. And gee, what would be a good third? You put me on the spot here.
When you choose it. You know, it's interesting, too. You know, it's another company that I was talking about with someone the other day that's done a great job is SEM Rush.
Yes, right? They've done a good job.
Like, you talk about a company that a year and a half, 2 years ago was known just as being a Russian tool set with a bunch of data, great data, but something that a tool suite, Or I'll call it a whole set, because they haven't always been a suite, right? They've rolled out a lot in the past couple of years. But you know, customer service, their marketing team, everything was, they weren't strong marketers. It was very word of mouth. SEMrush has always been very word of mouth and strong data. And now, like, I see hashtag SEMrush chat trending, like, every single time I go on Twitter, it's trending.
Right. And that's, and that could be the third, is to create that personality for your business, because that's what they did. Mm-hmm. They started actively blogging. They started reaching out to bloggers that they respected and trusted, you know, and they have the chat on Twitter and people know who they are, and they are a brand, but people have a feeling towards them.
Yes.
You know, a trust, that trust and that feeling that you create with your community, it's very hard to break, right? And once you've got that solid around your company, you kind of ensure you have a solid customer base. So I think that that really has to be, let's make that the number three, is make sure that your brand has a personality or that feeling of trust built around them with their community that will, you know, even if you don't increase rapidly, that you maintain your current income.
Amazing. Right? Amazing.
So that would be, I guess, my third.
Well, thanks again. Thanks again, Melissa Fash, whose last name I have mispronounced for years until I was corrected a while back. So thanks a lot, Melissa Fash, for joining us here on Search and Deploy. I really appreciate it, as does, I'm sure, our audience who's just listening to this. And we'll see you at PubCon this year. I'm really excited about this year.
Oh, me too. I can't wait to see you.
All right, great. Thanks again. Thanks. Oh, where can we find you online, by the way?
I am at SEO Aware on
SEO
Twitter.
SEO Aware.
Gotcha. Yep.
Gotcha. So. Cool. All right.
Cool.
I'll drop a link in the show notes. So thanks a lot, Melissa.
Thanks, Lauren.